Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the Now Sabbath Gathering online ministry with the Apostle W.J. Armstrong. And one of the things that we are focusing on is the earthly kingdom living, or applied theology, or applied word. And we will focus on our rights and what is promised to us as the body of Christ, being kingdom citizen. How do you see yourself? Good evening and welcome. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truths, and that something that is said here will give you some insights, give you some comfort as you deal with what you see in the natural, because we are believers that walk by faith and not by sight. And we are the light to those who are non-believers. And as we we'll begin today, let us pray. Almighty, our blessed and creator, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this message. For this message has blessed me. This is how I hope and pray that it bless the hearers. And you have me to be a doer of the word, of what I heard from your scripture, what scripture is saying to me today. It given me the authority and giving me the faith and the courage to speak to the airways, knowing that people will be listening, and some people going through trials and tribulations, and because of what they see, not because of what's happening in the spirit realm. You know, God, we just say, invite you in. Come in to this gathering. Come in and give us that which you know we need to hear and see to sustain ourselves in such a time as this. In the name of your beloved Son, the Messiah, whom people are saying he's on his way returning, we know not when, but we thank you for him. In his name we pray. Amen. This afternoon, we have a topic that is fitting time as this, because if we look around, we see all the chaos and confusion just in America now. We're not dealing with anything today outside of the continental United States, outside of the 50 states that is governed by the office of a president. And what we see, according to the title, some of us feel that people are misusing the authority. And people have taken an oath. They swore on the Bible that they would do certain things. And because they felt that the divine spirit, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, has given them the authority to occupy that position. And people seem to have forgotten that what comes with authority is governmental discipline. Discipline. So now, let's just deal with the, before we do the scripture, let's just deal with the definition here. What is discipline? And I want you to think about what's happening now. What's all over the news, all over the television, the newspapers, and everywhere. And then, and see how this word, these two words apply. One, discipline. What is discipline? I looked it up. It says, discipline is the practice of training people to obey rules are a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. Now let's just work through this. Training people to do what? Obey rules. Now this country says the rules is based on the Ten Commandments. The laws, the rules are based on the Ten Commandments. So now if that's the case, then the Ten Commandments was given to us by God through Moses on the mountain to the children of Israel who were wandering in the desert. And a code of behavior. Now, when you look at the code of behavior that these persons are operating under, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Doesn't. So now, those two things here, if you're disobeying the rules and your behavior is not in sync with the Word of God or with God's will, what happened next? Punishment. And what is the purpose of the punishment? It's to correct disobedience. So now, what we're saying is that if you don't obey the rules, you're being disobedient. What we're saying is, if your code of conduct or code of behavior doesn't line up with the Word, then you're being disobedient. I want us to just apply this to what you see in the natural. You see people are not obeying the rules. Some people feel that they're above the rules. Then their code of conduct doesn't bond to the will of God. And so when that happens, what's the next phase? The next step is punishment. And what is the purpose of punishment? Purpose of punishment is to correct disobedience. People are being punished so that they won't do, and hope that they won't do what they did to get them in a state of disobedience in the first place. And we just look across, look at what happened in the last 3 years. And then we see that was the noun. The verb says is to train. Discipline is to train someone to obey rules or a code of conduct using punishment to correct disobedience. Train. So what we see is that when people are not obeying the rules, when people are code of conduct doesn't line up with the Word of God, then they wasn't trained properly. Or if they were, it didn't become part of them. Now, that's that discipline piece. And that's what we keep seeing and hearing, calling for discipline to take place and to make the course correction among what they see and what is going on in this country. And some people are frightened by it. When I say frightened, fearful of what they think is going to happen. And, you know, we shouldn't be calling stuff in that's not as though it is, which is not. We should be going to the Creator and lifting up a word of prayer for those individuals. And if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 or 5, we see that it says we must pray for all people, including those who are in authority. Why? So that we can have a quiet, peaceful, godly, reverent existence. That's why we should be praying instead of complaining the way that they were doing that was out in the wilderness. And we're going to see that when we get to the main scripture. And then what do we say about government, governmental discipline? And now we got to understand what we're talking about here. The kingdom of God is the government of God on the earth. are in the heavens. The earth and all the planetary system are governed by the Lord. They are upheld by his power and are sustained, directed, and controlled by his will. All right. Now let's go back. If you're not obeying the rules, you're disobeying the rules. And what governs that? God, the Lord, governs. They are upheld by his power. Those are the rules are created and are governed by his power. And they are directed and controlled by his will. So what this is saying then, that the will, my will, is secondary to God's will. God's will outrank my will. God's will outrank those individuals' will that are running around here talking all that yang and creating chaos and confusion in the minds and the hearts of the people. And because of that, God's ultimate will shall prevail. And then if we go on, where in the Bible? You say, oh, you're just blowing smoke. No, I'm not. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governor and authority. For there is no authority except that which God has established. Authority that exists has been established by God. So when we wind up in these positions, who put us there? Who created the position in the first place? It was created by God for a purpose. And whenever you are in that position, you must understand why God created, what the purpose was, and begin to carry out your responsibilities according to the will. How do you find the will of God? By reading the word. So those individuals who, well, we have to stop here a minute. We're making certain assumptions that those individuals that are in these offices understand what I just said, that they read the Bible, they know the word, and the word is in their heart. But now whenever I look at what comes out of their mouths, that tells me a different story. They're singing a different tune, which you'll see later. Now, let's get to the main scripture for today. The main scripture for today comes out of, I think it's Numbers 20, and we start at verse 7, and we're going to read down to verse 13. And I'm going to pause it at the verses that we are emphasizing. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, oh, now, what took place before were the people mumbling, grumbling, and complaining that they were out there, that they maybe they'd been better if they would have died when they were back in Egypt. And now they're out there. Moses brought them out there, and they're going to have been water, and et cetera, et cetera. So Moses goes to God, and this is what the Lord said to Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 7, this is verse 8. Take the rod. Now I want you to hear this, because you might miss it like I had in the past. Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. And this is God speaking. They went to God, complained with the complaints that the people had, and God is responding. He's giving them the solution to their problem, because they took the problem to God and God gave them the solution. Now, then it goes on and says, this is what God said. Gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes. Speak to the rock before their eyes. Remember that. And it will yield it's water. In other words, God knew there was water in that rock, and he was telling them what they needed to do in order to get the water out of the rock. And it goes, thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now, here, so far, so good. What did Moses do? This is verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. You remember now, God commanded him and gave him specific instruction. Specific instruction. And then verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, now see if this part reminds you of something that took place earlier. Hear now, you rebels, exclamation point, rebels with an exclamation point. Like that statement implied that there was some animosity someplace that was in somebody's heart. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? What they say again now, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Remember that. Verse 11, then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation, the animals, drunk. Now, let's just pause there for a moment. Now, what did God tell Moses to do? Did he tell Moses to hit that rock? Or did he tell Moses to speak to that rock? And see, whenever you look at the two, you begin to understand, he told him to speak to the rock. That would imply that there's a power outside of him that produce in the rock so that the water that was there would come forth. And it also said that being that told him to speak knew that the water was there, not Moses, not Aaron. They disobeyed God and his word. And first thing, let's go back. Hear now, you rebels. Is that what God called them? God didn't call them rebels? Rebels? But hear what they said. They added something to the word that God gave them. And then they said, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Personal arrogance. We are doing this for you. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice. Did God tell him to strike that rock? No. He told him to speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Before their eyes. In other words, speak to the rock and so that they can see God's working for them on their behalf. And it goes on. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Think about it. You saw Moses hit that rock with his rod, and water came out. So who are you going to believe did this, God or Moses? You saw it with your own eyes. Then, verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. Because you do not believe me? Sound like God is has a charge against them. He's making it clear. He's telling them what they did. Because you do not believe me to hollow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. He's saying you didn't believe him enough to tell them what I told you and to believe that all you had to do is speak to that rock and the water would come. And the people would have saw that. That you didn't need to hit that rock with your rod. But you did. And in the eyes of the children of Israel, so they saw it, so they're going to assume that you knew that there was water there. Or that you the one hit that rock and the water came. And you had to hit it twice. So now chastising them. Because you do not believe me to hollow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, these are the consequences of one action, one being disobedient. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. He made it clear. You disobeyed me, and you put yourself above me. And because of that, you will not cross over into the promised land. And the individuals, the members of the congregation, they're not going to go cross over either. Because they're disobedient. Now, let's just call it what it is. They lied. They lied. They changed around what God, the words that God gave them, and they did it the way they wanted to do it. And as a result of that, there are consequences. And I see that being played out right now. People are suffering the consequences of the action that took place a year or so ago. And now they are crying foul. They are saying that they are a victim. That, and then they got their people that are following them talking about having a civil war, talking about they have to have because they're coming after that person, which is Donald Trump. They're going to be coming after them next. Because you see what they did to the people on January 6th. They're punishing them. They're locking them up. Now, you have believers are frightened. You have believers. I don't know what's going to happen. Let's just go down here again. And I want you to think about what did Moses do when the people were complaining and grumbling and mumbling and complaining? He went to God. God took care of the problem. He had the solution for them. We have the same authority now. We have the same power now that we could exercise. If we understood the word, but let's see what's the origin of these acts of disobedience. In John 8:44, where Jesus said, "We're telling them a group of Jews. He was telling them, you belong to your father." I can see them now. You know how you belong to your father. Yeah. We belong to our father, Father Abraham. But now, what did he say? He defined who their father was. You belong to your father, the devil. Can imagine that took a smile off of some of their faces. and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, but he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, you say that, well, Moses don't do the half-truth, but it was a lie. It wasn't the truth. It wasn't what God told them to tell the people. It created what? False, something false in the minds of those individuals that heard it, because they didn't see God as being the one that provided the water. They saw it was Moses. Through their natural eyes, Moses took his rod and hit that rock and cracked the rock, and water was in the rock, and the water came out. So now, who is Satan or the devil is the father of lies. And if you go back now, go back to that original lie, that first lie. What did he do in the garden? He told the first lie, as we look at it, to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then what did he do? That first lie did what? Planted seeds of doubt in Eve's mind. Whenever he posed a question, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, he directly contradicted God's word by telling her, "You will not surely die." Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. With that lie, he led Eve to her death. Now, let's go back. And we apply the word to the real life situation so that we can understand that we don't have anything to fear, because we are operating and living in the power of the word of the Creator. So, he changed and said, "You will not surely die." And that led Eve to die because she disobeyed what God had told her. And what did Adam do? He followed his, and people say his wife, and I say he followed Eve because they were in a relationship that was before marriage. We talk about marriage as we know it today, as a husband and a wife. And what we are dealing with, whenever we read the word, it doesn't say that there was a wife and a husband. They were in a relationship. And when you read the word, God is more concerned about the relationship, a monogamous relationship, than that piece of paper that you get when you get married. Now, the word, and we remember now, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything just repeats itself. And what I see happening in the world today is a repeat of what took place thousands of years ago. And some of the major actor is the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what I see whenever I look at things through the spiritual lens. That's what I see is happening. That's how I define it. And because I'm able to define it that way, I go back again. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. Therefore, I have nothing to fear. Listen, now, Apostle, come on now. when the bullets start flying, I guess you're going to stop the bullet. Well, we believe the word, the bullet's not going to fly in your direction. And I can testify to that. The young man pulled a gun, pointed it directly at me. He couldn't have missed, not unless his weapon was off. And I felt like a hole of my forehead. And I saw his lips moving. I said a prayer and walked away. And that tells me who has the authority over that individual, who has the authority over the weapon that that individual used, or wanted to use, the Creator. Creator blocked the bullet. And so the discipline that's coming on the earth now is coming from God, not man. And no matter what these people do or what these people say, it's not going to stop God from discipline those who have been disobedient. The mic is open. Anybody have a question or a comment? Now, if there is no question, no comment, because that's what this time is allotted for, the next 15 minutes or so. Normally, the message that presented is from 5 to 5:30, and then from 5:30 to 5:45, we have question and answer or discussion. So, if there's, for those of you who called in, if there is no question, no discussion, and those of you who's on the line, if you have a question, you can email me at talkingdrums12@gmail.com. talkingdrums12@gmail.com. I would say you can text, but, well, you can text me anyway. Calling me, I have gotten calls from people outside of the continental United States, which I wasn't sure. If you call up from outside the continental United States, leave a message, because people are scamming people. And I didn't, that's why I didn't respond to those. I wasn't sure if somebody who got the number and who was, it was a spam call. All right. That, all of that being said, let us pray. Almighty Creator, we give you thanks and praise for the time that you, that we were with you and that we brought your word to your people. We trust and pray that the hearer find comfort in that word and that they are able to apply the word to their everyday situation that they see through their natural eyes. And open their spiritual eyes and ears that they may be like us and may be able to look beyond what they see. That's what it means by we walk by faith and not by sight. And they may call a solution into existence. In the name of the Messiah, we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, shalom. Shalom.
something to get for you, though. Let's see your blanket.